You're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining us on the Commons today, I am thrilled, pleased, delighted, and very happy to have my old friend Jan Bergman back with us. Thank you so much, Jan, for joining us today.
Hi, Sue, and thanks for having me.
Well, I just want to say that Jan jumped in at the last minute because we had a last-minute cancellation, and I really appreciate it. So thank you. A special big thank you, Jan.
Well, you're welcome.
Jan, you're one of the most active activists out there, and you've been doing a lot of really, really good stuff. And Florida certainly is a lot better because Jan is president of Cyber Citizens for Justice. And Jan has been working very hard on trying to make sure that there's a lot of good legislation there designed to protect the citizens, but it's not been easy, has it, Jan?
No, it's not, and especially this year it was very difficult considering that we have a Speaker of the House who was employee of one of the biggest CAI law firms, Beck and Polyakov, and as you can imagine, special interests are very much in Tallahassee and their rule, and we have seen a lot of problems, and not only in our issues. This session was actually devastating for consumers here in Florida. And especially because our politicians, even from the same party, were fighting each other, and instead of looking out for the welfare of their constituents, they had their own little agendas, and in the end, I have to say, they got very little achieved, not a lot was done, and even the property tax problem that was considered the number one issue for this session has to go into a special session next month because we, as I said, we have a speaker who actually has his personal agenda, who would love to be governor one day, but I think from the consumer point of view, he is doing all the right wrong moves. It's disgusting. He has PR ideas. He came up with a booklet called 100 Ideas. While looking into it, he should have possibly called it the 100 Ideas to Bankrupt Florida Citizens.
So instead of taking a, what you're telling me, or what I'm understanding, is instead of taking a step forward, you've actually taken a step backwards. Is that right?
Here in Florida, yes. In any which way, not just in association issues, more or less. Well, we got some good new license plates approved, and actually, why you can now be buried with the remains of your pet.
Wait a
some
minute.
Some other very stupid things.
Wait a minute. You can be buried with the remains of your pet now?
Yes.
What if you don't die at the same time?
Why? You can keep the ashes, and then the ashes can be buried with you in your coffin.
Speaking of pets,
very important for the living people.
Speaking of pets, you have an organization in Florida called Citizens for Pets in Condos. These people have done something that I've never seen done anywhere else in the country. They have organized and they have come up with something like 13,500 signatures to get legislation passed to overrule association bans on pets. They decided to take it to a very narrow thing this year. They wanted just people who had emotional problems to be allowed to have pets. It wasn't an overall ban. Even that didn't pass. Yet you're telling me that these same people now can be buried with the pets that they're not allowed to have? Is that?
That's about it, yes. In short, yes.
So they can be buried with the pets, but we're not going to make sure that they're allowed to have pets.
Correct.
That's nice.
But who cares? See, you have to realize that we saw infighting in Tallahassee, the representatives and senators were fighting among each other, and in the end, very little got done, and especially the important bills ended nowhere. You see, don't forget, we are here in Florida, in a state where the people are fleeing in huge amounts. We see a real estate market. You can't give your condo away in the moment. You get emails from North Carolina, I'm here now, hey, it's much better, come here as well.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. We lost last month, actually, four of our members who moved out of Florida. And the realtors are telling you that they have huge amount of stock in homes and condos nobody's interested in. They don't even get a low bid. Because who can pay for the high cost of living? See, property taxes have gone sky high. Insurance premiums for your home or condo, you have to win the lottery to pay it. Gas prices, I don't have to tell you where they are. So in a state where you have many retired folks on a fixed income, they can't cope with the cost. They just can't pay it anymore. We will see huge amounts of foreclosures here, and not only caused by these dangerous loans and things like that, they're caused by people just not being able to pay their bills, even with the best of their wills. People used for the last property taxes and the insurance premiums their last savings, and if there is nothing happening until next winter, you know, when all the property tax and everything is due again, we will see a lot of people who are plainly unable to pay their bills. End of argument.
We seem to be seeing that across the country. We have that same thing here. I mean, there's this tug and pull. You have the seniors, the elderly, who live on fixed incomes or who, you know, are not getting a whole lot more income coming in. And with inflation, what they have, it's just not keeping up. Property values have soared. And although they may own their homes, although they may have a lot of, a lot of equity in their homes, but they still need to live someplace. If they cannot make ends meet now, taking money out of their homes and trying to repay mortgages at this point is just plain asinine. I mean, to expect them to do that is ridiculous.
Yeah, but see, everybody knows it, and then nothing is being done.
That's my point.
Legislators are working against their own constituents.
That's exactly right.
And you know, special interests rule. The legislators listen to what they have to say because they're interested in their campaign funds. I can give you a very good example. We have here in Florida a special election for Senate seat number 3, which Senator Nancy Agenciano was holding. And guess who is running for a Senate seat? The former chief of staff of our House Speaker, Marco Rubio. And a few days after he filed for the election, he suddenly had more than $200,000 in campaign funds. And if you look on the people who donated these funds, they're all special interests. These special interests are going to buy another Senate seat in the meaning of the word buy. The guy is bought and paid for if he makes it, but I hope that people don't vote for him because, I mean, they're voting against their own wallet. I mean, that's the problem. We just can't afford some legislators any longer because they're stealing our wallets and giving it to special interests.
Jan, I have, by the way, we're talking to Jan Bergman. Jan is president of the Florida-based Cyber Citizens for Justice. His website is ccfj.net, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
There is a ton of information. I always get the nets and the dot-coms and things mixed up. Jan, I mentioned cyber citizens for... I mentioned Citizens for Pets and Condos a little bit ago. I got an email from Maida Genser, and Maida said that they are a 501c3 organization, and they cannot, as such, ask you to vote for people or support candidates. They can tell you who not to vote for.
That's correct.
That's the same
what we do.
I am not a 501c3, so I can, and I do not live in Florida. Here's a list that Maida had, and she said, please send a thank you to Representative Julio Rabina, who worked really hard for them, Luis Garcia, Yali Robertson, Priscilla Taylor, and also Alex Villalobos.
Senator Alex Villalobos, who is a very, very great consumer advocate. I guess you know, or you may not know, he was the one targeted last year by Governor Bush to be removed as a senator because he dared to vote against one of the governor's pet projects. As well, special interests donated the money, but the voters stood behind the senator and helped him to win again, much to the dismay of Governor Bush.
Here is a list of people that she is asking you not to vote for. To remember, these are the people who voted against you, the citizens, the consumers, the taxpayers. So I am going to flat out ask you not to vote for these people. Marcus Rubio, Ellen Bogdanoff,
David Bogdanoff, yes.
Bogdanoff, David Rivera, Ron Reagan, Andy Gardner, and Ralph Papel.
Correct.
Okay, so there you go, guys. Again, next time you go to the polls, vote no against Marcus Rubio, Ellen Bogdanoff, David Rivera, Ron Reagan, Andy Gardner, and Ralph Papel. Vote yes, please. Julio Rabina, absolutely, I adore the man. Luis Garcia, Yali Robertson, Priscilla Taylor, and Alex Villalobos. So please support these people. So, it's nice not to be a 501c3 sometimes, yeah?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, I think people understand better if you tell them not to vote for certain people, instead of telling them, oh, vote for this guy or that guy. And especially what I have realized, people have to get off their high horses. You know, I see in state politics more and more, it is not the party these people belong to. It's the person you have to vote for. Because there is good and bad in both parties.
I agree.
You can't just say, oh, the Republicans are all good or the Democrats are all good. Hey, you see the bad guys on both sides of the fence. And both sides take the special interest money, and both sides often work against the interest of us, the consumers.
I think you have some people who see themselves as public servants, and they come, you know, they get involved to do good. They have a very high personal price tag. You have some people that you can buy for, you know, a couple of quarters, a couple of nickels, even in today's money, and it doesn't matter. As you pointed out, the minute you know, one of these guys declared his candidacy, he had $200,000 in his coffers. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's absurd.
Yeah, and you go down the list. I mean, you see the who is who of special interests. You know, I mean, our esteemed speaker Marco Rubio insisted of putting in a task force in the insurance reform bill, you know, which definitely will be a bully pit for the insurance industry, which actually abandoned Florida's citizens just for greed and profit. You know, I think he did it in order to get his former chief of staff some more campaign funds. You know, there has to be a reason, because everybody was against it, minimum the wide majority of Florida's voters, but he didn't care. You know, what people don't understand is the fact that a speaker in the House is more or less a dictator. That's not a democracy, what happens in these places. It's a dictator. He tells exactly which bills go and which bills will not. He is responsible if bills are altered before they even get to the first committee hearing. And even if he's trying to tell you that's not the case, it's a proven fact. There's no if and but. He is the man in the House, and he is the one who is to blame for the failure of the House if it doesn't work. And this year, he was a total failure. It sure failed the citizens of Florida.
Well, folks, if you're in Florida and you're listening, you better pay attention. Get active. Get involved, because this only happens with your permission. Right, Jan?
That is absolutely correct. And, you know, it is really a shame when you see at elections, at main elections, that so few people participate. You know, if there is a 45% voter turnout, don't forget, not even 50% of all the people who would be eligible to vote are registered voters. So if only 45% turn out, that means that possibly 20 to 25% of all people only vote. That's a shame.
It is a shame. It is a shame.
And you know, that is, in my opinion, the reason why we often have such morons sitting there.
You know, I think that good people just don't want to run. When you look at your choices, sometimes it's like which of the, you know, they're at the bottom, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. There are very few good people. I don't think I voted for someone in a long time. I think a lot of us go to the polls and vote against someone, and I think that's a shame.
And that is definitely the case. And I mean, see, most of our listeners are interested in community association issues. And I compare, for example, the House of Representatives or the leadership of that House with an association board. You know, the Speaker is the president who does whatever he wants. The board members are sitting there listening eager to the president's words and do whatever they say without uttering their own opinion, because they're afraid they may get kicked out. And that is how it works. And that is why we have these problems in the association and why we have these problems in the legislature.
And again, it's all happening because we, as citizens, are allowing it to happen. And
sure.
In you know, in all cases, we have the right to say no. Jan, one of the issues that came up this year was there was a thing to do away, there was a suggestion to do away with property taxes altogether.
Right.
Whose idea was that, and what happened to it?
That was the idea of our esteemed speaker, and he played like a little kid. It's my idea or no idea, and if you don't go along what I want, then we kill the whole idea. That is why we still don't have any kind of solution for our property tax problem here in Florida.
When I first heard about that, Jan, and jump in anytime, my initial reaction was, hey, no property taxes, that's great. But I started to think about it. Anywhere you look at Houston, they'll say, you know, we have associations because we don't have zoning laws. But the big thing is California. California says we have mandated associations because of Proposition 13. This is when the citizens said they wanted to cap property taxes because property taxes were going out of, you know, climbing out into the stratosphere. If you go with no property taxes, there's going to be a legitimate excuse to mandate and insist on associations, because now there will be no money at the local level to provide the services that you need to have provided for you, roads, streets, you know, street lights, safety, police, crime, all of that stuff. You know, that's what your property taxes are supposed to pay for. Right now it's a case of double taxation. I think if you live in an association, then you've been kicked out of the American zone, then maybe you should not have to pay the taxes, just pay school taxes if you have a kid in school. But to do away with property taxes altogether, that just doesn't seem to, it seems to be like a double-edged sword. What are your feelings on that?
Well, the proposition was doomed to failure from day one, because don't forget, this is not an issue that can be decided in Florida just by the legislators. It has to go on the ballot. And even if he would have passed it through the legislature, which would have needed a 75% vote of approval by all legislators in order to create the necessary special election, then it would have gone to the voters. Now, imagine one thing. How many people don't pay property taxes? Their renters, they don't pay property taxes for any kind of reason. You know, lots. Then you have here in Florida the people who really benefit from what's called Save Our Homes, you know, which caps property taxes. And you see people who pay $500 for the same home their neighbor pays $5,000 for in property taxes because they moved here 10 years earlier.
Wait.
For the same house, same value.
Wait a minute. You have a cap on property taxes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
But only if you homesteaded.
Okay.
That is the gripe of all the snowbirds, which bring a lot of money here to Florida and which I think our economy couldn't do without. See, the tax system here in Florida is absolutely unfair. Everybody knows it. And something needs to be done about it. There is no argument. But coming up with outrageous ideas, because, see, it wasn't just, delete the property taxes. See, the money has to come from somewhere. So his idea was to add 2.5% sales tax. You know, that's as well a lot of money. And, you know, why should somebody vote in favor of that proposal who only pays very little property tax in the first place? You know, they would be voting against their own wallet.
So wait a minute.
So he needed the vote of approval of these constituents, which he would have never gotten because too many people benefit from the status quo. You know, so instead of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, he played stubborn, blocked every other attempt, and here we are with still no property tax reform.
So this is, wait a minute, let me see if I understand you correctly. You're saying this was the quid pro quo. He put up something that was just totally asinine and was not going to go anywhere. And when that didn't pass and when that failed, was doomed to fail, and maybe he knew it, and he said, all right, if you're not going to support me on this one, then I'm not going to support you on any other consumer-friendly bill. Is that what happened?
That is, in a way, what happened, yeah. You know, like a little kid in kindergarten, you know, you took my toy away, now I don't play with you anymore.
Oh, boy. Come on, Florida. Wake up. Actually, come on, America. Wake up. It's not just Florida. The same sort of thing happens.
Not only Florida.
No, it's not. The same sort of thing happens.
But it's actually, to be very honest, it's actually the people who have to wake up.
That's right.
It's the people. And when I hear, oh, you know, we can't make a difference. We don't go to vote. They do anyway whatever they want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, everybody who doesn't vote votes for the person they wouldn't actually vote for.
You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
That is why we're getting all kinds of people there who wouldn't even deserve to be there in the first place, because they're actually against the will of the people. And they're not working for the welfare of their constituents, but of the welfare of their own bank account.
So when I said, wake up, America. But you're right, you know. So many people say you've got to vote for one of the two parties because otherwise you're throwing away your vote. People say, I'm not going to vote because my vote doesn't count. People say, well, I live in an area that predominantly votes for the person or the party that I would vote for, so there's no need for me to go. Or the reverse would be true. You know, it doesn't matter because everybody else is going to vote for the other guy, so my one vote's not going to make a difference. And that's, you know, you've got to stop thinking that way. Go vote your heart, but get out and vote.
Well, and it goes even further. You know, I get on our website and on my email, I get a day, sometimes 30, 50, sometimes even 70 emails from people complaining about the problems in their associations. Right?
Right.
Now, I tell them, look, fine, let's see what we can do. Often there is not a lot of to do because here in Florida, people in homeowners associations are absolutely unprotected. They're fair game for everybody who wants to go after them with all kinds of charges and their money goes like it's running out of style. But anyway, I tell them, look, here is your local representative. Here is your local senator. You go take two or three of your buddies from your association and go into their office. Do you think they will do that? Ah, that doesn't help anyway. They don't listen anyway. You know, hey, if you don't try, you know, bitching to the DBPR is not doing any good. These people just don't care. They want their paycheck and they don't want to be bothered.
They want someone to do it for them. They don't.
Right. You know, and you always hear then in their excuse letter, sorry, we can't do anything. We don't have jurisdiction. Some of these people who are writing these letters obviously haven't even read the statutes because sometimes these letters are ridiculous. They're just the letters that, please don't bother us again. We don't really want to hear from you. You know, and that is the help our government provides for the people in these associations, much to the joy of the specialized attorneys who are making a truckload full of money from the problems we are seeing.
That's right. We're talking to Jan Bergman. He's president of Cyber Citizens for Justice down in sunny, warm Florida with a few problems that we all share. We're going to take a short break. Don't go away because when we come back, there's going to be plenty more with Jan and more all about HOAs.
An audio poo-poo platter, a radio smorgasbord. We're WEBR, Fairfax's cable access radio station. And we're non-fattening.
They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. WEBR Fairfax, Virginia, you're on The Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew and I forgot my lines. And I've got on the phone with me today, I have... I have Jan Bergman. Jan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, I'm glad to be with you and have a great show.
Thank you. And we got a real good start in the first half. And it was like trying to drink out of a fire hydrant. There was so much coming off. Listen, it was more intense off the air during the halftime. There is so much going on. So, Jan, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you, because I think your legislative session is over with for the year, right?
Yes, it is. Well, we will have a special session which will only deal with property taxes next month.
Oh, that's still on the plate, huh?
Yeah, well, they have to do something, you know, before they face an empty Florida where they have nobody left to tax.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah, maybe they have former Governor Jeb Bush left and Donald Trump or some people, but that's about it, because they would be the only ones who can still afford to live in Florida.
Oh, boy. Then they won't pay taxes because they'll find a way around
it. No, they have the loopholes.
They have the loopholes. What other bills? Yeah, and you know, off the air we were talking a lot about some good bills, some bad bills, and some that passed and a lot that didn't. So I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to let you tell us what happened here.
Well, let's start with what would have been the real good bill, which would have been a bill that would finally start protecting homeowners and homeowners association. It was the Community Association Bill 1373, which was filed in the House by Representative Julio Robina and in the Senate by Senator Alex Villalobos. It would have created enforcement, it would have created accountability of the people in charge, and it would have finally done something to stop the waste of the association dues. It would have stopped embezzlement of funds we see in a permanent basis. It would have stopped stupid lawsuits which cost people outrageous amounts of money, because here in Florida we hear all the time about high cost of living by property taxes and insurance premiums. I know quite a lot of people who paid more special assessments to their association than property taxes and insurance premiums together. But nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to do anything about it. And I mean, if you have a speaker who was an employee of the Becker and Polyakov, what do you expect? Do you expect he will help the owners to get something, to get protected against these abuses? I don't think so.
It would seem to me it would be in their best interest to stem this, because, Jan, there's been a whole lot of articles and stories about huge sums of monies, millions, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars by single employees or single groups. There was another one yesterday, $200,000 from condos.
Well, we had one here. The president embezzled more than $650,000 and gambled it away. And the people in this community are now scrambling to find the money to pay all their unpaid bills. They have to pay more money than their property tax bill was. You know, and the state attorney says, oh, can't do anything. That's private contract. You have to sue that lady in civil court. Maybe you get your money back. You know, I mean, what an attitude.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
You know, imagine you take a paperback from the Walmart shelf and forget to pay for it. You know, you find yourself handcuffed in the back of a police car and prosecuted all over the place. Value of the book, maybe $5, right? But you steal $1 million from a condo or homeowners association, and hey, nobody wants to deal with it. You know, in the one case, the police even protected the president so that she could move peacefully with her moving van into another state.
You're kidding.
No. They, you know, some of the neighbors were really upset with her after they found out that so much money was embezzled. You know, that was their insurance money, their every money they had. You know, and the police threatened them to arrest them if they would interfere with the moving. That's how far it goes. Hey, the bad guys are always well protected.
Unbelievable. You know? Unbelievable.
But anyway, this bill died, and what was left over in the end, which was among it the pet bill for emotional pets, died as well because of the bickering here among our politicians, who were more interested in their personal agendas than in the welfare of the people here in Florida. But, you know, we saw some bills pass. Imagine it. You know, even if they were not good,
they passed. The one I like is that you can be buried with your pet that you're not allowed to have. I mean, that one makes a whole lot of sense.
Hey, well, how about that? You know, who cares about the living if you can care about the dead?
That one makes a lot of sense, Jan. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, hey, I got a good laugh out of it, believe me. know, because if you follow these issues these people have there in Tallahassee, you sometimes wonder. You know, I mean, another bill I would like to mention is a bill which I consider the eminent domain bill for condominiums. One of the local newspapers, the Herald Tribune, just plainly called it the condo teardown bill. It's a plan of optional termination of a condo. But what it actually does is it allows a developer to secretly or not so secretly buy units. Then, after having the majority of the vote, dissolve the condominium and kick out the families who really don't want to move. And we're not talking here about a condominium building which was devastated by hurricanes or by damage or which is old and frail and needs to go anyway. We're talking here about a perfectly good building, but a building that may be on very valuable land where the developers are after. So what they can do now is, you know, you have a small building at the beach, very good land, you know, good spot. So they buy some units here and some units there and some units there. Nobody knows, you know, the mother-in-law of the developer buys one and the daughter buys one and the nephew buys one. So nobody knows what's going on. You know, it's kind of like a hostile takeover. Until they have enough votes to be on the board, to make a vote and just dissolve the condominium. Then they have, for more or less very little money, a valuable piece of land, and now instead of having a four-story building, they can build a 35-story building and make millions and millions and millions of dollars at the expense of the families who wanted to live there and wanted to stay there but got kicked out by a majority vote. You know, that's nothing else than eminent domain.
You're right. It's a taking, absolutely.
It's a taking of private property for the greed of certain people.
That's right. And eminent domain, yeah. I mean,
you know,
it's losing.
And I mean, the Herald said it's a condo teardown bill because we will in the near future see a lot of old buildings torn down because the developers want to use the land to build some fancy condominiums, if the market ever recovers here in Florida. But that's what it's all about, you know. And that is allowed to pass because it makes profit to special interests. You know, we saw a bill pass that actually allows the revitalization of a voluntary association without the real vote of the people. Some guys can just come and say, oh, we revitalize an association which is dead since 5 years. That is in areas where people moved who didn't like associations, who moved out, as always the industry tells us. If you don't like it, move, is, you know, the fancy speech you always hear.
Right.
You know, and then they move to areas where there is no associations, but now the industry is mad because they lost them as their customers, right? So now they pass a bill that they can revitalize these places against the will of the people and make associations out of them again.
Wow.
Hey, so welcome to Florida. You know why we call it FFF?
Fraud-friendly Florida.
Yep, that's it.
Whoa.
That's where we are.
The triple F. F stands
yes.
for Florida, yeah?
And you know, then we have a bill that removes the mandatory mediation requirements, you know, which we created in 2004 as I was a part of the Homeowners Association Task Force.
Yes.
And, you know, we put a provision in that a lot of issues have to go to mandatory mediation before a lawsuit can be filed. You know, because we feel, and we had the okay from the judges, even one of the Supreme Court judges spoke for it, you know, because their dockets are full of association lawsuits, you know, they're blocking everything, and, you know, many judges say, you know, if we hear homeowners associations, we want to leave, you know, we don't want to hear it anymore. But, you know, the industry claims, oh, just a few disgruntled people, you know, they don't really count.
Right.
You know. But, you know, you go to the circuit courts and look on the dockets each morning, there are always one, two, three cases for homeowners and condo owners associations. You know, hey, this minority must be really small, and these few guys must be all over the courts, you know, to put their name on the dockets, I think. I have no other explanation here. You know, but anyway, they removed that, so now the attorneys can just file lawsuits again against unsuspecting homeowners. You know, a lot of them are frivolous from starters, and they go nowhere, but they make good money for the attorneys.
Yeah.
And the boards agree because they think they can use the judgment of the so-called professionals who tell them it's a good lawsuit.
But you see, you know, if you file a lawsuit against one person and you're on the board, then homeowner number two is going to think twice before, you know, pushing, because they're not going to want to either have to shell out for a lawsuit or they can't afford to shell out for a lawsuit. What a wonderful tool to just keep people in check and in place, don't you think?
Well, sure. I mean, see, you're more or less helpless as a homeowner because most of us don't have the money to go to litigation. So you just obey and say, okay, sorry, I messed up and I'm wrong. And even if your rights were violated, because you just don't have the money to pay for your defense. That's the problem. You know, these associations are turning more and more into dictatorships run by attorneys.
They are. They absolutely are.
You know, and you know, we are actually waiting for the governor, you know, to see which bills he will sign and which bills he will veto, because two of the bills that passed this year were vetoed last year by Governor Bush. And we are already asking the governor to veto them for the same reason as before, because they are absolutely violations of private property rights. But after it, we are going to publish a Plan B. We think it's time for owners to protect themselves against the abuse, financial mismanagement, uncontrolled spending, and even clear embezzlement. And we have to take back our associations. And, you know, we do attorneys a favor by getting involved in litigation and lawsuits. You know, that is all wrong. You know, instead of filing fancy lawsuits, hey, go to your neighbors, recall the board, and the first thing the new board is doing, fire the attorney and the management company, because they are mostly the ones who are really at fault for many problems we see in these associations.
I agree with you. I cannot disagree with anything you've said.
Well, you know, I get plenty of complaints, and my first question always is, you know, what is the name of your association, what's the name of the management company,
the
and what's the name of the attorney on retainer for the association.
Right.
And you know what?
It's the same people all the time.
The same people always again and again. And I would say no more than 1% of the complaints comes from associations which are self-managed and have no attorney on retainer. They are normally very happy. They don't have problems. But if they hire these fancy management companies and these attorneys, they will take care that there are problems, because they make a lot more money if there are problems than if there are peaceful, happy communities where everybody lives neighborly with each other.
It's, you know, I have more of a national focus, and so I hear from people across the country, and I know you do as well. And the first thing you ask them is, you know, what city are you from? And then you ask them who the attorney is representing the association, and it's always, you know, you get to know these attorneys. And any city across the country, any area, it's always the same people. It's always the same people.
You know, here in Florida, I would say 10 law firms or 10 attorneys, you know, some are single, some are law firms, count for about, I would say, 90% of the problems.
Yeah. I mean, I can name off three attorneys in Florida and three law firms that have been, you know, involved with all of the worst horror stories. I know you could probably have a few more, but I mean, these are...
I have a few more, but I mean, yeah. I would just agree with you on one thing. There are three leading the charts by far. You know, and you can see, you know, I get a lot of letters they have written to people and... you know, I see letters they have written to boards, and because, see, don't forget, not all the board members are in favor of these attorneys. You know, I get a lot of stuff from board members who say, you know, our president is a dictator, and he works together with this and this attorney, and the two of them subdue anybody who dares to contradict anything they say.
Right.
You know, I mean, we have even seen lawsuits filed, you know, in order to shut people up.
Or threatened.
You know, they file frivolous lawsuits.
Yes.
To have these people spend money on their defense, and when they figure they've spent enough money, they just drop the lawsuit, and the people are sitting there with $10,000 paid to their attorney. They will never get back because there is no lawsuit, so there is no prevailing party. And this money is gone. And then these people tell the other association members, and if you don't shut up in the future, we do the same thing with you, and I hope you have $10,000 to defend this lawsuit we're filing against you. So you better shut up.
Yeah.
These people do.
Yeah. Oh, I know. They threaten them all the time. And it's just totally hideous. It's ridiculous. And then you have your legislators who were elected by you, and or some of you anyway, and they're fighting and bickering, and they're playing with your property, and they're playing with your wallet, and they're playing with your rights, and you get screwed from every side.
Yeah, but because you sometimes get the feeling these legislators don't want to understand the problems, because. You know, I know one legislator who lived in a homeowners association where they recalled the board. He refused to sign the recall, actually. And he was all upset that his buddies from the board were recalled for, in his opinion, no reason. You know, I mean, I saw the financial records later. You know, these people had a good reason to recall these people because the people wasted money, you know, for some pet projects and so on. And, you know, pet projects are fine if you are rich and you have a lot of money, you know, like we saw with our counties wasting the money for all their pet projects. But, you know, in the moment, money here in Florida is very short. And, you know, we just can't afford boards spending $30,000 on new planting at the entrance. You know,
yeah.
Then comes the next hurricane and everything is gone.
That's
you know,
true.
We had
yeah.
one association down south. They spent $800,000 for replanting trees and bushes. And next year the next hurricane came and all was gone again. You know, because the problem is, you have people who tell you these are good the trees, you know, they will withstand hurricanes, but no, they're not good because they don't bloom, they don't look fun, good, and so on. So we put in the plants the wives of the president likes, but these are the plants which will go first in a hurricane. So here goes $800,000, but who cares? It's not my money in the first place.
But they're protecting your property values, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm telling you. I mean, come on. You know property values here in Florida?
Are they down at the toilet?
In the moment, you can't give it away. You know, I have a lady, I feel so sorry for her. Her husband died last autumn, and she wanted to move back up north to her kids. And she lives in a very nice condominium, you know, not one of the older, rundown places, nice condominium.
Mm-hmm.
So she wanted $370,000 for her condominium, which was a very, very decent price. You know, it was a, at that time, a price to sell quick.
Mm-hmm.
She is down to $290,000, didn't even have an offer, but, you know, now is more or less half a year since she put it on the market. She didn't have one offer which even would make sense. There was one guy who wanted to buy the $370,000 condominium for $200,000.
Wow.
That was the only offer she got.
Oof.
You know, and it shows that the market is totally dead. You can't sell it. And property values are not, are not improved by suing the neighbor, believe me.
No, they're not. I mean, that's totally ridiculous.
You know, why do you think these attorneys are fighting against the demand that that association have to disclose lawsuits to potential buyers? You know, because that's important. Because if the association you buy into is involved in a big lawsuit, you know, it can cost you quickly a special assessment of $10,000 extra.
Yeah, and I think that you have to disclose that here in Virginia. But you see, the industry doesn't like that because, my gosh, that's going to devalue property, and we can't have that, can we?
Well, we had in the community association bill a disclosure demand for community development districts. That's one thing which is very specific here in Florida. You know, it's a triple whammy. You know, you get taxed by the county, you get taxed by the community development district,
yeah,
and then you get taxed by the homeowners association. But the sellers don't tell the people. So these people suddenly get bills and they even don't know.
We have seen
many people moving in and moving out after a while when they realize what they have all to pay because nobody discloses it to them.
Yeah.
You know, so we wanted a disclosure bill. Hey, you should have heard them complaining about that, you know. I mean, see, if you have a flawed product, you don't want to disclose it, believe me.
That's,
you know, so what does it show you if somebody doesn't want to disclose all the issues, you know, surrounding the house you're supposed to buy?
Jan, we're out of time.
Okay.
We'll have to talk about CDDs again. I want you guys to tune in next week because next week we have Julio Rabina on. Jan, thank you so much for joining. On the Commons was produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. See you all next week. Again, thanks for joining us.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers.